Welcome back to the Meet and Kime Show featuring Lenny, a very special episode featuring my friend, The Ringer's Danny Kelly. It is the first installment in a series that I will be doing several times between now and the draft called War Room. So the way this works is we are doing an entire first round. We're doing it pretty quickly, but instead of going back and forth and sort of working against each other, we're going to work together. This is my equivalent of an NFL war room. Danny and I are going to work in concert for every single pick. I am going to pick two players, explain why. And then of my two players, which will sort of simulate each NFL team's big board, Danny is going to pick the one he wants. Danny, how do you feel about this idea?
I love it. It's like, it's like the GM head coach relationship possibly, or whatever, however it works in different teams, but you set the menu and I'll pick the meal kind of deal. I like that.
That's actually something that my husband and I do when we're at a restaurant, and when he's like, what do you want? I'm like, here's two things, you choose of the one. I like your Netflix. It's a great way to,
I like that,
to avoid fights. Okay, let's do this.
Let's do it.
So the Chicago Bears are on the board at number one, and the two players that I am selecting as, I guess, I don't know if I'm Ryan Poles or Matt Eberflus, but in your case, Caleb Williams, yep. USC, Drake May, UNC, no mystery that the Bears need a quarterback, that they're going to take a quarterback. Danny, which of these two players would you like to take?
As much as I like Drake May, I'm going to go with Caleb Williams, who I just think his traits are too special to pass up at that spot. I understand some of the concerns about him holding the ball for a little bit too long, but I just think his overall talent and makeup and all his traits are going to overcome that particular deficiency. So I'm going with Caleb Williams, USC.
It seems like things are headed in that direction. Yeah. It's number two where I feel like nobody at this point has any idea what the Washington Commanders are going to do. They also need a quarterback. They just traded Sam Howell to our beloved Seattle Seahawks. I have the easy right now. My job is a lot easier and your job's harder. That'll sort of, that dynamic will flip later because I have two players on my board.
Yeah.
LSU quarterback, Jaden Daniels, UNC's Drake May. We just talked about Danny. This is probably going to be the most hotly debated pick. But you are the Washington GM. Which of these two players are you taking?
I am going to go with Drake May. I'm sticking with my board. I don't know exactly how Washington has it, but I think Drake May is just a really complete prospect. Really, he's got the size, arm strength, athleticism, decision making. I think he has a massive, massive ceiling. He's a little bit younger than Jaden Daniels. I understand he's not quite as good of a runner, or not nearly as good of a runner, but I just think long term he has more upside, and it feels to me like all the Jaden Daniels stuff is a bit of a smokescreen right now, so we'll see how it all plays out. But
because he's being rumored to be in the number one conversation, a lot of my colleagues like him at number one.
I mean, I like him too, but I don't know, to me it's just this feels like what we see every year where, you know, the betting markets kind of shift as we get closer and guys get moved around, and then at the end of the day, like, ends up being kind of who we thought it was going to be originally. And so just going to stick with Drake May for now. Although I understand this may not end up being the real pick.
Yeah. Well, the other thing is I should mention, we're not doing trades. And I think this number three pick is the one that's probably going to have the most trade speculation around it, especially after the Minnesota Vikings made a big trade to acquire a number one, first round pick, which, you know, is inviting a lot of speculation about whether or not they're gathering ammunition to move up potentially to three or even below that to five, you know, ahead of the Giants to take a quarterback because everyone knows that they need a quarterback. but we're not doing trades. I have the Patriots sitting pat at three, which I kind of think they should do, to be clear.
Yep.
The two names that I am offering you now, again, we're going pretty chalk at this point in terms of like the players we're talking about. It'll get a little bit weirder later. Jaden Daniels, we were just talking about, for the New England Patriots, or Marvin Harrison Jr. Patriots obviously have not had a lot of luck drafting receivers. They still really need a number one wide receiver. Marvin Harrison Jr. is like the most complete wide receiver prospect we've seen in years, although this is a very deep wide receiver draft, which might influence your thinking here.
Right.
Which of these two players do you, Elliot Wolf, I'm just making you the GM now, the GM of the Patriots take?
I'm going with Jaden Daniels. I think just based on the fact that to me, this is going to continue to be a well-run organization. I think that you can't really expect this team to be so like positioned so well to draft a quarterback anytime soon. I think their defense is going to be good enough to win them some games. Their offensive dysfunction from last year will be dramatically improved this year, whoever's playing quarterback. So I just don't think they'll be in this position to draft one of these like highly ranked prospects, these quarterback prospects. So I'm going with Jaden Daniels. I think he can, you know, again, I really like him. Don't like him quite as much as Caleb Williams and Drake May, but I think he has that dual threat capability. He's going to be involved in the run game with what they're doing there that make things better for Ramondre Stevenson in their run game. And I think, you know, he's obviously experienced. That's huge. So I'm going with Jaden Daniels. I think he has the potential to be a very good starter in the league. So, and I think this makes sense for the Patriots.
Yeah. I think where it gets interesting is if Minnesota offers them like the hall of halls, more than we saw like the Niners give up to go get Trey Lance, then you're like, okay, well, how do you feel about that second tier of quarterbacks? Which I have a feeling some of that second tier might go in the first round of our draft. I definitely think they're going to go in the first round of the real draft. But I don't think the Arizona Cardinals are going to take one because after all of that talk about them tanking for Caleb and trading Kyler Murray, he is QB1. So for their needs, I've gone through post-free agency, the rosters. I'm going to do a podcast about this. There's still a lot of needs on this roster. They did trade away Hollywood Brown he didn't return. He didn't trade away. He's a free agent. The receiver group is lacking, shall we say. But there's edge, corner. I went with two receivers. I kept Marvin Harrison Jr. And then I brought up LSU's Malik Nabers, which this is another interesting debate. I think for a while it was thought kind of like the Caleb thing. Oh, Marvin Harrison Jr., no question. But like you and I were both in Indianapolis. I would say one of the storylines that really permeated the combine was how much teams liked Malik Nabers. Marvin Harrison Jr. is more complete, but Nabers more explosive after the catch. You're the Cardinals, you're Monty Asafor. What are you doing here?
So I think you could make the argument actually, and I don't know if I would believe this or not, but I think you could make the argument that Nabers is a better fit just based on the way that Kyler Murray plays. You know, he's very accurate deep ball passer. Nabers is extremely explosive down the field. And of course he's very good after the catch. And so like do these screenplays and shorts, little slants and things like that. I think that's definitely in Kyler's wheelhouse. However, I'm just going to stick with the chalk. I know this is like basically predictable so far.
But it'll get weird. It'll get weird. I promise. Yeah,
Marvin Harrison is the pick. He's a rare prospect. He's got the total skill set. He has the speed, size, hands, body control, production, Hall of Fame name, everything you really look for. I think he's going to be a force multiplier for that offense, make everybody around him better. So just stick and chalk here for now, but hopefully we'll start to get a little bit weird going forward.
Thus far, Danny, I feel like we've gone kind of chalky with a lot of mocks. People, I think, probably expected to play out similarly to what we've done. Five is where things have just gotten a lot more interesting because going into this offseason, the thought was the Chargers would probably move on from Mike Williams, which they did, but they would definitely keep Keenan Allen. Nope. They traded Keenan Allen to Chicago Bears, which means that the Chargers wide receiver group is dubious. For a while, the thought was, you know, with Jim Harbaugh coming in, they want to run the ball, Greg Roman, they're going to draft an offensive lineman. But now it looks a little different. So I've got Joe Alt, left tackle of Notre Dame, who a lot of people have been linking to the Chargers for a really long time. But with the Allen trade, Malik Nabers is right there.
Yeah.
So again, this is not what your NFL GM doppelganger, Joe Ortiz would do. I guess you could easily do a Freaky Friday with him and nobody noticed. You are the GM of the Chargers. Are you taking Malik Nabers or Joe Alt?
So to me, this is a very fascinating choice because you could make the argument for both tackle and receiver that you could probably get a very good version of whether it's receiver or tackle in the second round or wherever, a little bit later in the draft, because this is the two positions that's maybe the deepest in the draft. If it's me, I'm going with Malik Nabers over Joe Alt because I'm a little bit worried, if I'm being totally honest, about Alt playing right tackle or whether this means they're going to have to move Rashawn Slater to the right side. I don't know exactly what that means. You don't always see a seamless transition when you're switching sides. A lot of people say it's like, you know, snowboarding goofy or skateboarding with the opposite foot. Like it's just a different feel. It's not necessarily super easy for everyone. So that's a big risk. I think Neighbors is a fantastic fit with Justin Herbert, who has an awesome deep ball. He can throw it a million yards. They can get him into space and do yards after the catch, the play action game, all that stuff works out. And obviously they don't have any good receivers on this team. I think that Josh Palmer is a good role player, but he's not a number one in my mind. And so, you know, obviously this is going to be a run heavy team, but that doesn't mean they don't want explosive playmakers. So Malik Neighbors,
Greg Roman, get ready to block, buddy. Okay. I like that. That's what I would do as well. Although, again, I actually think in real life, this might be the potential trade down spot.
Right, because right.
If somebody wants to jump the Giants for JJ McCarthy. Oh, man. Okay. Well, I am the Giants, and I am Joe Shane, and JJ McCarthy is not my pick here. Mm. I think it's rich for him personally.
Yeah.
So I'm giving you an interesting choice. At least I think it is. I'm keeping Joe out there because –
yeah.
It's funny. People aren't really talking about it. The Giants offensive line was horrible. I know. Like they're not ready to give up on Evan Brown. I don't know, but maybe they should kick him inside. Either case, the offensive line was like non-functional outside of Andrew Thomas last year, but I'm introducing a wide receiver. I view this as a big three in the class. I think I agree with the order that you've gone in thus far, but I'm putting Roma Dunze out of UW on the board because good Lord, this Giants receiver group also needs help. Other needs they have, defensive tackle, maybe linebacker. But these are the offensive line and wide receiver and quarterback are the three biggest needs.
Yeah. So I'm going with Odunze here. And similar reason, I think, to what we just talked about with the Chargers where, you know, you mentioned Evan Neal. I don't know where he's going to end up. They've just made so many picks early on the offensive line. I have to feel like they want to continue to like develop that group. And hope it kind of works out for them. If you're building a receiver group that sort of emulates like a basketball team, I think it makes a lot of sense to have Roma Dunze out there as like the true X, a big target, a guy who can get open on third down in the red zone. He's going to be a perfect complement to a guy like Jalen Hyatt, who is stretching the field. Darius Slayton's still there. He's another field stretcher. Wandale Robinson is sort of like the underneath guy who can pick up yards after the catch. I think this gives them sort of a fantastic mix of different types of skill players. And as we've seen, a lot of really smart teams do over the last few years, and this is not like a novel idea, but like giving your quarterback a lot of playmakers and like making their job easier, it gives you a better idea of who you have, whether it's Daniel Jones, who kind of has a bounce back year this year, or maybe heck, Drew Lock, maybe he's actually going to have like a career renaissance, sort of like Geno Smith. So you know, I think it makes a lot of sense for them to go offensive line. I could see them doing it more like in the second or third round. Again, this is a deep class. And you're not going to get a player. You're not going to get a caliber of prospect like Odunze any later than this.
Agree. Okay. So the Titans, we can actually, this one, I feel like they are right. Grant Carthon is running because he is pumped. They were linked with the wide receivers. Then they went out and they paid Calvin Ridley a ton of money. So that is no longer the primary need. Their needs are offensive line, offensive line, offensive line. So I left Joe Alt on my board. I added Olufoshanu just because I think I think they needed a left tackle. They drafted Skronsky last year. They have Dillard, but left tackle is a huge need for them.
Yeah, I'm going to go Alt here. I think just dropping him in at left tackle right next to Skronsky, it really like solidifies that offensive line. I personally really like Fashanu, but it feels like it just feels like Alt is the perfect fit for what Tennessee is trying to build right now. And again, this is the perfect example of a team putting a bunch of playmakers, a bunch of strong support systems around their young quarterback. Will Levis is going to get a real opportunity here to prove whether he's the guy or whether he's just, you know, going to move on after this year. And so having a couple of good receivers now and DeAndre Hopkins, Calvin Ridley, you know, hopefully Treylon Burks can make a big jump in his third year in the league. And obviously getting guys like Tony Pollard, Tajay Spears is still there. They're going to have a solid run game, some explosive plays in the run game. And, you know, Joe Alt is going to help that a lot. So this to me is just like an easy run to the podium type pick for the Titans. I like
the
that
board
a lot.
has gone well for them. I'd argue it's also pretty good for the Falcons because they're the first team of all of these teams that I actually think really needs to go defense. And so they'll have their pick of defensive players. I threw up teammates from Alabama. I gave Dallas Turner, who I view as the number one edge rusher in the draft. I'm Terry Fontenot, or we're Terry Fontenot together, I guess.
Yeah.
And then Terry and Arnold. I haven't 100% decided that he's my cornerback one, but for me, the Falcons need to go edge or corner. Which of these two players would you like to take?
I'm going to go with Turner, I think, just because the pass rush class is not nearly as deep, I think, as the corner class. And if you want to get one of the top tier pass rushers, you got to go early on this one. Turner, to me, is still developing. I think he still needs to sort of build out his repertoire of pass rush moves and probably get a little bit bigger and stronger. But I mean, as he showed at the combine, this is an absolutely elite, elite athlete. He has great burst, great bend and balance. And I give this gives him really high like potential going forward. I think he is kind of the total package. His height to length ratio is incredible. He has like the longest arms imaginable. I think I saw somewhere he has almost the same wingspan as LeBron James in a 6'3" frame. So he's just like perfectly built to be a pass rusher. I think he has a ton of upside and one of the highest ceilings for any of the pass rushers in this group. So I'm going to go him. I'm going to go with him. They can get a corner in the second round or third round and be like a serviceable type player. And again, there's a couple of corners I think that are going to be really good still around in the second round.
So I think that the Bears are fascinating at 9, because up to this point, I really feel like you could go in so many different directions and, up till this point, I felt like it's been pretty obvious what the team's needs are.
Right. Right.
After the Bears take a quarterback, you could really, this roster is, they've really rounded out into shape, but you could really go in a bunch of different directions. It almost is like
this is tough. You know,
this one's tough. okay, so I'm gonna be. This is gonna be kind of. Okay, I'm gonna give you these two options, and I don't think this is what they'll do necessarily, but okay. This is what I'm gonna do.
I have something in my mind that I think I want to do, so we'll see if it lines
up. Okay, so I went with the trenches on both sides.
Yeah. Yes. So
I've got Byron Murphy, who is one of my favorite players in this draft, deep penetrating three tech out of Texas. Really is, I think, a three down play. He's really good against the run. He is so powerful and his motor runs so hot and he's so slippery. And I think that's a need for Chicago still. And then on the other side of the ball, is everyone cool with Braxton Jones being left tackle?
I know.
Want to upgrade there for your young quarterback? I'm a huge fan of Fautanu. I think there's questions about what position he should play at a UW, but there's an opportunity there to get better too.
So when you were writing down your answers, I had left tackle in my mind. So just because, again, I'm with you. I think Braxton Jones has been good. He's been better than expected. I don't know if necessarily they view him as like a franchise left tackle long-term. And again, the way that I think teams approach offensive line these days is less like, hey, we have a guy at left tackle that we really like. It's more like, let's figure out what five guys are going to give us the best chance to protect, to run the ball and, you know, down the line and just like make the quarterback's life easier. And I think getting a guy like Fautanu, who could play multiple positions, I think he's a left tackle. He has the length. I think at the combine, he showed the movement skills. I mean, obviously it's on tape too, but he showed incredible, just nimble feet, really good body control, very athletic, very balanced. I think he has, you know, he's a left tackle in the NFL. It helps that he could play, like, honestly, he could play guard. He could play on the right side. He could kind of do whatever. And that's going to give the Bears a ton of versatility, a ton of flexibility if they have any injuries. I mean, some of the guys that they've got on their offensive line have been a little bit injury prone. So this just adds depth to that position. Very important. I love Murphy too. I wouldn't have like hesitated that much to pick him that high, but I think just solidifying the offensive line and continuing to build like around your rookie quarterback is like the smartest thing they can do. And this gives them a chance of fielding five very good offensive linemen.
Okay. So sorry, I'm writing the team on the little whiteboard I have, if anyone's listening or for the YouTube audience, I'm doing a whiteboard. Okay. So the Jets, this is kind of a, do you take the guy you need or the guy you want? Because I'm giving you Olufoshanu, left tackle, Penn State, or Brock Bowers. This is my first time writing Brock Bowers down.
Yeah.
You know, I guess tight end is actually a need, but offensive line is more of a need.
Yeah.
Assuming Aaron Rodgers isn't running for vice president and he is the quarterback of the Jets, he needs to be protected. Clearly. So what are you going to do? Are you going for the sexy? I mean, you could argue the most sexy picks.
Right. But I'm going to go with the logical one and go left tackle Olufoshinu. Okay. I think I would love to see Brock Bowers on that in that offense. But at the end of the day, they really need a left tackle, a long-term left tackle answer. They've been trying to find that guy. It hasn't really worked out. This is almost the exact same argument I was making. It's just like find five guys that you can line up on offense or on the offensive line and block. Is this going to help their run game? It's going to obviously help, Aaron Rodgers in his year 41 season or however old he is now. They need to protect. That's going to be a massive, massive factor. And I don't think they want to go into the season with like such a big question mark at that left tackle spot. So, and to me, Olufoshinu is just like a plug and play guy. So this one just makes too much sense.
Okay. So we're 11. We're at the Vikings. We did not have to trade up. Mm. I'm going to throw a quarterback up here. This is my first time putting JJ McCarthy on the board, but you haven't had to trade up, which is great. The other player that I offer you is Terrion Arnold, who I mentioned earlier. I do think that they need a corner. They did add in free agency on the defensive line and that linebacker, but cornerback still strikes me as a need, even they got decent play out of some unexpected places last year. Mm-hmm. Are you going to go quarterback here or are you going to go corner?
I think the Vikings mob would just come after me if I didn't give them a quarterback here. I don't think anyone wants Sam Darnold to be starting this year for them. I'm going JJ McCarthy. I think that's fine value. I like him.
I put it up on the board. This wasn't I'm like, okay, we haven't traded up. So I feel better about it.
I absolutely don't dislike him. I think it's more of just a question for me of, experience and just being able to like be the focal point of the offense, carry an offense versus what he did in Michigan, which is much more of a game manager type role. And that's not to say he was really good in really key high leverage situations. He was really good on third down, really good in the red zone. I think he's got some very good tools. I don't think he has elite tools, but it's funny because he does remind me of Kirk Cousins a lot. Like it's just a guy who can run a professional offense, get the ball to his playmakers, move the chains, score points in the red zone. And so I'm going JJ McCarthy here. I feel pretty good about this.
I think that's fine. This is the beginning of like where you might potentially see a run on quarterbacks, corners, pardon me. And this next team is one that will be associated with a lot of those corners. Those quarterbacks. I am not going to put one on the board. I do not think that the Denver Broncos should take Bo Nix or Michael Penix Jr. at 12. I think that's frankly too rich. That's just how I feel about those quarterbacks right now.
Yeah.
So I am, I have as the Broncos needs corner, edge, receiver is there too. This is, but we've already gotten through the big three of receivers and I feel like this is too rich for that next tier. So I threw up Terrion Arnold, who I've been putting up, and then Lautu Latu, who is, you and I both love that player. He's an edge rusher out of UCLA, just incredibly, incredible set of moves. He's like so advanced. Obviously the medical questions exist. I think Denver could go in either of those directions.
Yeah. I'm going to go with Lautu Latu. I really, really like him. I know that there are pretty massive question marks about his health going forward. He had to medically retire from Washington, actually, go Dogs, and ended up getting a second opinion from the doctors down at UCLA. They ended up clearing him. He came back. I want to say he had the highest pass rush win rate, according to PFF, in true pass set situations. So in like real pass rush situations, he was almost unstoppable. He was the most unstoppable pass rusher in college football. And a lot of it goes to his hand use. I think he's a good athlete. He's got a lot of burst, but he is so incredibly technical and refined with his hand use, the way he mixes, chops, swipes, swim moves, spin moves, you name it. Like he just leaves offensive tackles or offensive guards just flailing more than any other pass rusher I watched this year. And so, and the other thing is he very rarely gets totally stalemated. Like, you know how when you're watching a pass rusher over and over again, snap to snap, like most of the time they're just like kind of rushing and trying to bull rush and it just kind of ends up in a stalemate and we move on to the next play. Like he is always he continues to go and go and go and go until the play is over. And he's just so tenacious and ferocious as a rusher. I love him. I really hope he can stay healthy because I think he's going to be a good pass rusher in the NFL. And the Broncos need pass rushers, so this is a good spot for him.
Okay, the Raiders, again, I don't want them to take a quarterback here. I just don't. Sorry. This is my board.
That's fair.
I'm going both corners. I don't know how many people are mocking the corners, but this defense, to me, defense is ascendant. You got Christian Wilkins up front. They played really well second half last year. But corner remains a need. So I put Arnold, and then I threw up Quinion Mitchell out of Toledo as my other option at corner. Different kind of players.
Right.
I can dig into the details later. Who do you want, though?
I'm going to go with Mitchell. I think he's sort of like the rocket ship corner of the season. Obviously, like Terron Arnold kind of came into draft season as the number one guy. But Mitchell was absolutely dominant at the Senior Bowl. So I think that showed that his level of competition in college wasn't going to be like a big problem. It didn't feel like it was too big for him. He was not intimidated. He went out and essentially, and I was there, he was like the best player at all three practices at the Senior Bowl that I went and watched. And so, I mean, I think he has the ball skills and he is the better athlete. He's got a good size frame. He's very physical. You know, he plays with an edge. He has everything you want. I think Terron Arnold is a very good player too. I'm not taking away anything from him. I just think Mitchell has the complete package, including elite athletic traits. And that's kind of a question mark with Arnold. So I'm going to go with Mitchell here. I think he has a very good chance to be the first corner off the board.
The Saints at 14 love taking big trench guys, offensive linemen. I'm going to give you two. Jared Verse, FSU. As a reminder, Dallas Turner and Lau Tulatu are off the board. I think most people view this as like a top three with the edge rushers, so he would be the third. And then a guy who, you know, I mentioned earlier, Byron Murphy is still available. Which of these two players are you taking?
That's a great question. I like both of these picks.
Thank you.
Verse is so Saintsy. I'm going to go with Verse.
He
just feels like a Saints defensive end. High motor, big. Like really big, you know, muscular, strong, physical guy. You know, he can play on all three downs, kind of reminiscent of like a Cameron Jordan type player. A lot of the edge players they've picked over the years have just like that huge frame, high motor. You know, he has a good array of moves that he uses. He's very explosive. I again really like Murphy here for them too, and I think I've actually mocked him to the Saints a couple times this preseason, or this draft season. But I'm gonna go with Verse just because I think he is the most Saintsy pass rusher in this group.
Okay, so the Colts for needs potentially, I wrote edge, receiver, corner. I'm giving you two corners. I keep throwing Arnold back up here. Is this where he lands? Well, I'm putting him up against Cooper DeJean, who I honestly think is a great fit for Gus Bradley's defense.
Yeah.
They both are.
I am going to go with Arnold. I like Cooper DeJean a lot. I think he's going to be a corner in the league. I just think Arnold is just so good. He's so good in every sort of way. He's very instinctive. He's got ball skills. He's good in both zone and man looks. He's got, you know, he's just got kind of the whole package. Plus, he played at Alabama. Obviously, he's getting tested there. I think this is going to be close. And I could see Ballard really liking Cooper DeJean because he's just so athletic and so big. But I'm going to go with Terron Arnold, who I've got ranked a little bit higher on my board.
So our Seattle Seahawks are on the board at 16. Oh. I think there's fun. I'm thrilled if I'm John Schneider.
Yeah.
In this one. So the options I'm going to give you are Byron Murphy, who we've been talking about. And then I threw up Jackson Powers Johnson because the Seahawks really have a strong need in the interior of the offensive line. We are haunted by the decision to take D. Eskridge over Creed Humphrey.
We still talk about it to this day.
Yeah. But the entire defensive line remains a need as well. Now, they did just bring back Leonard Williams, Draymond Jones. So, you know, it's not the biggest area of weakness on the roster. What are you going to do?
If I'm making this choice, I'm going with Murphy. I really like Jackson Powers Johnson, but I think Murphy has like top 10 talent in terms of, you know, he's a three down guy. He's going to push the pocket. I think if I'm trying to pick a guy that's going to help my new head coach out the most in year one, in terms of like installing his defense and getting the most out of what they're trying to do, I think Murphy's going to help them a ton. This might help open things up for some of the guys around him. I think, you know, the Seahawks edge rushers aren't necessarily a special group, but I think having a guy on the interior that can really collapse things and draw double teams and, you know, just create chaos in the interior is just only going to help the guys on the outside. I think he's a great fit for what they want to do. So I'm going with Murphy. Feel really good about that. I think he's a day one impact guy.
Okay, the Jags. So now it's getting a little bit trickier, you know. Yeah. This might surprise you.
I feel like I need to look at the Jags roster. They've made so many moves.
Yeah. Okay, so we're picking at 17. You're Trent Baalke.
Wow. Yeah.
No, he's been
loose cannon.
Okay, so I'm going in. So Jags for needs, because they did a lot in free agency, right? They brought in Gabe Davis, but Calvin Ridley's gone. They just signed Eric Armstead. I was thinking about defensive tackle, but I think they're pretty solid there. So I'm going Nate Wiggins.
Okay.
Who is the cornerback out of Clemson, who I really like. Mm-hmm. And then this is my first option for Brian Thomas Jr. out of LSU. Yeah. Because in some ways, like, his skill set might be a little bit duplicative with Davis, but I still think they need like a true number one wide receiver. I view Davis as a number two.
Yeah. I had Brian Thomas in my mind when you were writing this down. So I'm going to go with my gut on that.
Okay.
I think it's not a perfect fit, because I think Brian Thomas is really good out of the slot. And I think that's where Christian Kirk is at his best also. But at the end of the day, Brian Thomas is just so fast, so explosive. He's going to be that field tilting type player in the offense that they really need. I think he's going to be a good fit with Trevor Lawrence, who can really sling it down the field. He's a touchdown maker. And right now, like, who on that receiving core is a touchdown maker? I think, like you said, Gabe Davis, I think, plays his role, but he's not going to be a consistent big time producer. And Christian Kirk is a slot. He's best as a slot receiver. So they need like Brian Thomas is like their Z, kind of move him around, get him, you know, free releases off the line and let him go do his thing. He's extremely, extremely fast. I think I saw Dane Brugler mention he had like the fastest flying 20 of the 40 times. So like the back half of the 40, he was just like blazing. And that's the type of player you bring to the offense.
So the Bengals, I can't wait to see what you choose here, because on one hand, there's a guy on the board who has been linked to this team. It's an obvious need. It's a no-brainer. This offense would kick. On the other hand,
I know who you're talking about.
Offensive tackle is need. Mm. And Talis Fuaga, who a lot of folks think should be the best offensive tackle in this draft, is still there. So Brock Bowers is the first guy, by the way.
Yeah, man.
This is tricky, right?
This goes right back to the Penei Sewell, Ja'Marr Chase, like, conversation where you have like the meme of who's going to be blocking, who's going to be catching passes type deal. Shoot. I guess I'm going to go with the less sexy one here and go with the tackle, Fuaga. God, this is a terrible reason, but like, they just signed Mike Gesicki to kind of be like the slot receiver type guy. It's a little bit redundant there. Not that like Mike Gesicki is keeping you from drafting a blue chip prospect, but I feel like in this case, in this particular situation, going the opposite direction of the Ja'Marr Chase decision and actually just picking a good offensive lineman, a guy who's going to protect. Joe Burrow's been hurt, you know, multiple times with serious injuries. Like, getting him protection is important. This isn't sexy and this is not nearly as fun. I'd love to see Bowers in this offense, but I'm going with just the offensive line. Good, solid player.
Okay. So the Rams had some news break today. Aaron Donald retired. Thus, I am putting Johnny Newton out of Illinois, defensive tackle, on the board. Kobe Turner, who they drafted last year, was excellent, but just saying. I'm a big fan of Newton as well. And I'm keeping Brock Bowers there. God, you know, Sean McVay would absolutely love. Now, they did sign your other doppelganger, Will Disley. Wait, no, he went to the Chargers. Sorry.
Yeah. Signed, Parkinson.
Our other former tight end.
Right.
That should not preclude them from considering Brock Bowers.
Look, I'm going to be just totally selfish here and not give Brock Bowers to the Rams, because that would make me mad personally.
So mad. I'd be so mad. Brock Bowers goes to the Rams, he's going to score a million touchdowns.
It would really bug me. Man, Brock Bowers in like a Sean McVay screen game offense, like the way that they could just like scheme up ways to get him into the screen game would be so fun. But I'm going with Johnny Newton. It's funny because, and I say this with all respect and admiration for Aaron Donald, but like, he's just like a dick to opposing quarterbacks. Like, he absolutely looks to destroy, borderline like dirty, like coming in and just like arm barring a guy in the head or whatever. Like, that was like that'll be my lasting memory of Aaron Donald, just like hate facing him as a Seahawks fan. And man, if you watch Johnny Newton, he absolutely destroys a quarterback like once a game, like just devastating hits. So he brings the same kind of like mentality, intensity, intimidation factor. I think he's obviously very explosive from the interior. He's not an Aaron Donald level player, but he's very good. And so getting him on that defensive line just makes a lot of sense for them. Kind of helps fill that void. Nothing is going to fill a Hall of Famer's void completely, but it definitely helps.
So the Steelers are one of the very few teams that don't need Brock Bowers. So I'm taking him off the board, and I am putting back Nate Wiggins back on the board because the corner is a need. And then I'm adding Amarius Mims, who is another fast-blazing tackle.
My heart is going with Mims here. I think that one makes a ton of sense.
I love it for them.
Basically move Broderick Jones to left tackle and then put Mims in there, right tackle. Mims is a special, special athlete. The way that he moves is rare for a guy his size. He's absolutely massive, you know, huge, huge wingspan. He has, I think, 8 starts under his belt total. So that's a little bit scary from a projection point of view, but like, he looked really good. He acquitted himself extremely well. If he can stay healthy, I think he has an elite potential. This is going to be an interesting offense. They just traded Kenny Pickett, and so that means I assume Russell Wilson is going to be the solidified starter there. I think that was already probably the case, but you know, get Russell Wilson some protection up front, get that run game going. I know an Arthur Smith offense, they're going to want to run the ball, so just makes too much sense.
It's so funny because the Dolphins are next, and they really. The run on offensive linemen has hurt them because there's still some really good linemen left, but I'll put one of them on the board, and they really, you know, they made some additions, but I left Bowers. I put Bowers back on here. The Dolphins.
J.C. Latham.
J.C. Latham is the offensive tackle. Pardon me. Should be noted. Teron Armstead is coming back, but we know he doesn't usually play the entire season, and he's probably gonna retire soon. So it is a need.
I can't, it sucks to, this is, I'm afraid of what's going to happen with Bowers in the real NFL is like, he's going to keep falling down boards. I'm so tempted to take him though, because he's such a good runner after the catch. It would just make this Dolphins offense ridiculous, but they did just sign Jonnu Smith, I believe, in free agency. So that like gives them sort of a similar version of Brock Bowers, not nearly as dynamic, but I'm going to go with the offensive tackle. It was Latham, right?
Yeah.
Drop him in there. I don't know. Like, is that a good fit for what they're trying to do? I don't know exactly. I'm so torn. Because I'm so torn, I'm going to give him Bowers, actually. I'm changing my mind.
It's too late. I already
too late? Okay. You
can't do it.
The pick has been submitted. Okay. All right. That's fine. I'm not 100%. I don't feel 100% confident about that, but I do think from a team building point of view, dropping in an offensive lineman in this team is very important. They need the depth. They need the talent on that offensive line. So I'm happy with it, even though I did try and change my pick at the last second. The NFL said no.
I just don't want to reboot the whole thing.
I think that's fair. That's fair.
The Eagles are at 22. I went double corner here. Cooper DeJean and Nate Wiggins. This is kind of like a pick your flavor thing. You're playing more zone. You're playing more man. I do think they really need to seriously think though about taking a cornerback, especially with their corners being as old as they are. Slay and Bradbury, and you saw some struggles last year.
I'm going with DeJean. I think he's an elite athlete. He's got good size. And you know, if he ends up being needed to play other positions, like because of injuries or whatever, he has some experience at safety. He has some experience playing over the slot. He's just a really dynamic player. He could contribute on special teams. He's just really, really good. So I feel good about that one. That one I think is another team player connection that I've mocked a few times this draft season. And just makes a lot of sense to me that they'd go that way.
Yeah, I agree. I like that. Okay. The Vikings are back on the board with the aforementioned pick that they traded for with the Texans was the Browns pick. So just as a reminder, if we took a quarterback, we took JJ McCarthy. So that is off the table now. There's still two, Penix Jr. and Bo Nix are still there. if you want them. I am not going to go in that direction, obviously. Just looking through players. Okay. Vikings. So the needs I have for the Vikings are, I wrote quarterback, defensive tackle. Newton and Murphy are both gone. Corner. To me, that is the direction that I would go in.
That's what I was thinking.
I have two corners for you.
Mm-hmm.
So there's been Arnold, DeJean, and Mitchell are all gone. I've got Nate Wiggins back, and then I'll throw up Kool-Aid McKinstry as my next corner.
I mean, I like both of those picks. I'm going to go with Wiggins. It sounds like, so one of the main concerns with Wiggins is he weighed in at 173 at the combine, and it sounds like he was sick. Probably should not have even weighed in. He had lost a bunch of weight. He weighed in at, I want to say 180 something, like low 180s at his pro day. So that's much better. That's much less concerning. And I think he's a really good player, elite athlete. Again, kind of scheme versatile, can play in man, can play trail, can play off. Very, very long. I'm going to go with Nate Wiggins. He's the next guy on my board. And I like that. I like that for the Vikings. Get a good corner, get a quarterback in the first round and compete in year one.
So the Cowboys were not very active in free agency. And Tyron Smith is, as of this moment, unsigned. We'll see. Maybe by the time this comes out, he'll be on a team. He could come back. Tackle is a need, but I'm going skill. I wrote Brock Bowers again. Ooh. And then A.D. Mitchell, who's a player I really like. I think they could also draft a wide receiver.
This is a pick I was talking to a friend about the other day. I think Bowers to the Cowboys is maybe my ideal thing in terms of like team quarterback and just philosophy fit. In his career, Dak Prescott has been very open and like willing to pass to the tight end. He's one of the highest tight end passing in terms of his overall percentage of targets. Like his tight end passing rate is very high. And so I love this for the Cowboys. They need a quote unquote, like number two, I think anyway. And CeeDee Lamb is going to like take a lot of the heat from a defense that opens up a ton of things for Brock Bowers. He can do, like I said, a lot of stuff in the screen game. I think it makes a ton of sense. He's going to be very productive for them right away. I feel bad for Jake Ferguson, but this is just an awesome fit.
Okay, so now we're in the kind of, it gets a little bit trickier from here on out. Because I'm with the Packers at 25. And you know, this is a really good roster. As I was looking at their needs, I was like, damn, they don't really have that many.
I know.
I wrote like corner, linebacker, offensive line depth, edge. This is not one of these players is very much not their style. And I don't know if either of these players have been associated with them. So I wrote Tyler Guyton. Mm-hmm. Who's offensive tackle out of Oklahoma. You know, Bakhtiari retired. Bakhtiari wasn't playing. They do have tackles. They do love depth there. And then I threw up Chop Robinson. I actually edged with something that I like for them. Maybe there's a corner who's a better fit, but I'm a huge fan of his. So
I love Chop Robinson.
He's not Packer like because he's not big. That's why.
Yeah. That just my hesitation there and thinking of it that way, I think I'm going to lean Guyton here. I think Guyton, obviously, like they need some better depth at offensive line, at offensive tackle with Bakhtiari gone. I think Guyton has an elite upside the way that he is built, his athletic traits, great length. You know, he might have some positional versatility for them too. I think he checks a lot of the boxes I think the Packers look for. So I'm going with Guyton. Right now, I think he's pretty raw, but he has a ton of upside to develop into a very good tackle.
Okay, the Bucks. I'm going to leave Chop Robinson there. I do have edge as a need for them. And then the other thing I wrote was interior offensive line. I put JPJ back on the board, who's the center out of Oregon.
Yeah. Man, this could be the Chop spot. This could be the spot to put Chop Robinson. I have him ranked very high. I'm a little bit nervous about how highly I have him ranked. I don't know exactly where I've got him now. Let's see here. I got him at 18 overall. Which makes me a little bit nervous because the production was never quite as good as the athletic traits would you'd expect to see. But man, this guy has one of the most explosive, if not the most explosive first steps I've ever seen scouting. So he is just pure explosiveness on the defensive line. I think he needs to like learn, you know, more moves and further refine his pass rush plan, because he kind of just relies on that first step too much. But he has an elite foundation in terms of his just pure athletic explosiveness. And I think he has like one of the highest upsides for any of the edge rushers in this group.
So Arizona could go in a ton of different directions. Actually, their center is actually pretty good. The guy, Froholder, or whatever. Anyways.
Yeah. Go ahead and say that name. Yeah.
Taking JPJ off. I think that, here, I'll put an interesting spot for sure. Actually, you know what? Let me do this. I'm going to go defense for both these picks, because we took Marvin Harrison Jr. in the first round, as a reminder. We just need everything on defense. So the options that I am going to give you are an edge rusher and a corner.
All right.
I'm putting McKinstry back on the board from Alabama, and then I'm adding Darius Robinson.
Ooh, out of Missouri. Yeah, he feels like the pick here. I like Kool-Aid, but they need some help up front, I think, just like
truly
continue to build that group. I think Darius Robinson is very versatile. He can play inside, he can play outside, he can be like the strong side defensive end. He can stand up, he can rush from a three-point stance. He was absolutely dominant at the Senior Bowl. I know that's not everything, but just, you know, one of the best players there. And then I went back, watched his tape. He's winning all over the place. When he's another guy who's like, when he was given the chance to truly like rush the passer in true pass rush situations, he was really good. So I think he has a ton of upside. He's very athletic. And he feels like a really good fit for what the Cardinals are doing.
I love one of these picks for the Bills. I left McKinstry up because I do think they need a corner, but A.D. Mitchell
on
the board at wide receiver. They did sign a Curtis Samuels, more like that underneath to compliment Stephon Diggs. I'm not the witness here, but
this is the build a basketball team to be your receiver core answer. I'm going with A.D. Mitchell. I think they need an outside guy still. You know, after losing Gabe Dave, and Mitchell is so good in number one, he gets off the line really easily. He's so quick, so just agile as a route runner. And I think he has an incredible amount of upside. I think he scares me because his production was not very impressive in college. And I think that's always a huge red flag coming into the NFL when a guy's getting drafted this highly, but he does make up for it. I loved his tape. And then he tested as one of the freakiest athletes in receiver history at the combine. So it's not the other way around where you're like, oh, I got to go back and watch the tape. Is this guy good? I was like, I love this guy's tape. And then he was also one of the most athletic players at receiver position ever at the combine. So going with A.D. Mitchell, I think he's a boom bust player, but I love this fit with the Bills, and I want to see Josh Allen throwing him passes.
All right. So next up, I'm going to give you an interesting choice here. We got the Lions. As needs, I have edge, wide receiver, guard, corner. So I'm keeping McKinstry on the board. They did trade for Carlton Davis, but I still think they need to add there. And then I threw in Keon Coleman because they have, like, you know, Amon-Ra St. Brown, who can win over the middle. Jameson Williams can win deep, but they still are kind of missing that big boundary X receiver. However, corner is a need.
I think they need to do the logical thing here and just take a corner. Yeah. I mean, I love the idea of continuing to build like weapons on this offense, but I think Jameson Williams is going to be a much bigger part of their offense this next year. He can be the field stretching type of guy, the big play guy for them, gives them some of that run after the catch ability. It sounds like they're very bullish on what he's going to be able to do next year. So I'm going to go with the corner. I'm just looking at my notes for McKinstry, cause I watched him pretty early in the process, and I'm seeing he's always trying to intimidate opponents. He's very physical in coverage. He's not shy about getting his hands on receivers, rerouting them. This sounds like a Lions type of player. You know, he's got good size. He's got kind of the whole package. It's just, he didn't have a ton of interceptions in college, but I think otherwise he has kind of the whole package. And so he feels like a really Lions-y type of player.
Okay. So the Baltimore Ravens pick 30. I wrote guard. We'll see what happens with Kevin Zeitler. Corner is a need. Edge, receiver. So there's a few directions that they could go in. I am going to, this might be a little bit surprising. One of my picks might be, sorry, I'm like kind of navigating around my board here. I'm going to do a corner and a receiver. They might not be the ones you expect.
Interesting.
I'm putting Ladd McConkey here.
Yes.
Okay. Instead of Coleman. Yeah. Just, I don't know. Maybe that's duplicative.
No, I actually think that makes a lot of sense.
Ennis Rakerstraw is a corner out of Missouri.
Yeah. I'm going to go with Ladd. I personally, I don't think I would want this to happen in real life just because, you know, they're a run heavy team and I'm a fantasy guy. I want Ladd McConkey to go to like a high volume passing offense. But I think in terms of his fit in that offense, he is a guy that is going to get open. He has incredible amount of yards after the catch ability. He's one of the quickest receivers in this class in terms of just his pure acceleration is elite. And I think he fits with what they want to do. Obviously, Zay Flowers to me is more of like a get him in space, let him do his thing. He's you know, has some ability to get deep, but he's much more of a space player. And I think that McConkey can be like a really good sort of complement to what Zay Flowers brings and what Rashad Bateman brings. Put him in the slot a little bit, but he is an outside receiver too. Gives them sort of a longer term solution, you know, opposite Flowers, because I think Bateman's probably going to want to sign somewhere else after his contract is up. Nelson Aguilar is not getting any younger. So this gives them someone to pair with Zay Flowers long term.
Okay, the Niners have a pick. Potential directions, number few directions they could go in. I am going with offensive tackle Graham Barton out of Duke, or Mike Sanderstil is a player I really like.
That's a good one.
Out of Michigan.
Oh man, that's a tough choice. The Niners did just re-sign Colton McKivitz, who I think was like 49ers fans, the bane of 49er fans' existence. Yeah. I just saw so much complaining about what he was doing all year. It's funny that they re-signed him. But I'm looking at the 49ers depth chart, and there's a lot of like 30 plus year old guys on their offensive line. So I'm going to go offensive line here. You said Graham Barton, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's another guy that can play multiple positions. He could basically probably play any of the three positions on the interior, fill in a pinch at tackle if they need him. And maybe his best spot in the future is center. And, you know, obviously in the 49ers system, like offensive line is going to be massive and very important. It just helps this offense continue to like do what they're doing. So I like the Barton pick a lot for them, actually.
Finally, we have the Kansas City Chiefs, who just added Hollywood Brown. I'm still going to throw up a receiver. I'm going to offer you Keon Coleman again.
Yeah.
Very different archetype, obviously. Not someone that they have on their roster at all. And then I'll put Rakerstraw back in, assuming they might trade L'Jarius Sneed. And this is a team that's been very, very good at drafting and developing corners.
Ooh, this is a tough choice. I really like Rakerstraw. I'm not sure exactly how to say his last name. And Keon Coleman is a lot of fun. I still think even though they drafted Marquise Brown, they just need receivers so bad. So I'm going to go with Keon Coleman. I think he is, like you said, he's sort of a different style of receiver than what they have. I guess he has some similarities to Rashee Rice, but he has the take the top off the defense type of build and explosiveness and size. Obviously, he's incredible hands. Which is, it's just the polar opposite to like what we're seeing with like Kadarius Toney and some of these other guys.
That's part of my thinking here.
He has strong hands, very reliable at the catch point.
Should I give him Jalen Polk instead of Keon Coleman? As you talked about the hands, I'm like, ooh.
I mean,
but anyways, it's too late.
I love that fit a lot too, actually.
Yeah.
Because he's just a great route runner. He is just so so versatile. He can kind of line up at any position.
All right, we're changing it. We're giving them Jalen Polk.
Jalen Polk that's a super fun pick.
Right? Wouldn't that be, I mean, I don't know if he'll go that early, but.
Polk is another guy who is so strong at the catch point. Jalen Polk. So reliable. He gives them a base. It's just, he has a complete skill set. He just doesn't really have like one shining trait, like a superstar trait. He's just so good in every way. You know what I mean? So I think he's again, a perfect complement to what they have too with Rashee Rice. And Marquise Brown this year. So I like that a lot.
All right. We're done. We did it. All 32 picks. I feel good about our choices, actually. I feel like a lot of teams will get what they want. For the YouTube audience, we're going to throw up the final draft. Let us know in the comments what you think. And I will be back next. I'm doing this next with Greg McElroy. So that'll be a ton of fun. Sweet. Thanks so much, Danny, for joining us.
Of course. Thank you.